Welcome back for another edition in season of the TJSlideways.com podcast, returning after a year absence. We're glad to be back here in the Engine Pro Studios in Wyoming, Michigan. We're going to kick off the season by discussing the Winter Heat Sprint Car Showdown. And to do that, we're bringing in our friend from Dirt Track Digest, Mike Mallett, joining us on the line. And Mike, you are just returning from a trip to Yuma, Arizona, where you took in the first two nights of the Winter Heat Sprint Car Series. What do you think of the growth of that event in just over one off season?
You know, it was amazing. You know, we pulled in the parking lot, and the first thing I said, Brent Smith and I, you know, Brent Smith went with me, a photographer with us at Dirt Track Digest, and we looked in the parking lot, and the campers at least doubled or even tripled. And the stands were much fuller both nights that we were there than they were last season. So there was definitely growth there. And then when you look in the pit area, you know, you had 45 or 46 cars signed in for each night, and the talent level of those cars stepped up a little bit, you know, not taking anything away from who was there last season. But you had some bigger names. You know, you had a couple of the more of the outlaw drivers. You know, Casey Kane was there last year, but not so much Jared Pittman. Pittman was there. You had, you know, Jason Johnson. You had Shane Stewart. So definitely, it is definitely heading in the right direction. And I think if they can keep this going for a couple more years, you're going to see it become a winter destination.
Now, this season, of course, you know, the higher car count stuff, who do you think made the biggest impression on you over your first 2 days there at Winter Heat?
Well, you know, you got your obvious guys. You know, Dale Blaney looked strong. The first night, he had the benefit. He looked strong all night. You know, he got the start on the pole on Friday night. The track really was not conducive to great racing, kind of took rubber on the bottom. But then on, you know, on Saturday night, you had Kyle Larson dominating. So those two guys look strong. The guy that you always have to keep your eye on, it seems like at Kokopah, you know, he was strong each night out last year at Kokopah, was Danny Lasoski. They got the track working, you know, much better on Saturday night. You know, it had a nice big cushion around the top. And the bottom, if you could hit it right, you could run well. And that's exactly what Lasoski was doing. Late in the race, nobody else could roll the bottom. But you had Lasoski, you know, making moves down there on the bottom. The other guy that was impressive in his qualifying anyways is, you know, one of my favorite guys, so to speak, just because I get to see him a lot, is Greg Condit from the Pennsylvania Posse. You know, Greg won his qualifying event, and then he started fifth in his heat, started fifth in his qualifier, was able to win that as well. Unfortunately, had some issues in the A-Main where he caught a rut, and it brought the car around on him while he was leading the race. And then mechanical problems sidelined him later on. So he looked pretty good. And I think Jason Johnson's another guy you might want to watch. You know, if you follow Jason Johnson, he was a guy that was exceptional at Kokopah. I believe it was 2013 he won the Kokopah Cup Challenge and swept every event with the AFCS. You know, and I had a chance to chat with him. He talked a little bit about the track is different, but, you know, he's starting to get it. And I think once he gets it, he's a guy you're going to want to watch. He's good in the desert. So those are a couple of guys that I, you know, I kept my eye on. And you know, you can't count out the normal Joey Saldana. You know, it's going to take a bit for him and the Roth team to gel a little bit, but he ran strong on Saturday night. And Paul McMahon, you know, another guy adjusting to a new ride, looked better as the days went, had some mechanical problems on Friday night, but looked better on Saturday. So, you know, those guys are both there, and those are some guys you're probably going to watch. I know I gave you a list of about 10 guys there, but those guys looked good. You know, Blaney, obviously, right now seems to be head and shoulders above everybody. It doesn't seem like that team missed a beat from last year.
Well, when you have a field that deep, you're going to have a list of 10 guys that you're going to have to watch. Mike Mallett from Dirt Track Digest joining us here on the TJSlideways.com podcast. To me, it's a little hard to get a read on this thing because you see a lot of guys kind of going back and forth from the front of the pack, maybe one night to back the next. How many teams do you think are using this as kind of like a paid testing tune for the regular season? I think there are some outlaw teams that are probably trying some off the wall stuff, and it probably will see them towards the front, as the weekend progresses this week. But to me, I think we see some outlaw teams maybe using this as a test session, perhaps.
Oh yeah, I can definitely tell you that that's what Shane Stewart was doing. You know, I talked with him on Saturday night after he finished second to Kyle Larson, and he said this is a good opportunity for them to come out here and try a bunch of weird stuff that they normally wouldn't try. You know, he basically said once you get into that point season, you're stuck. You're kind of in this box of you have to run basically what you know works. and you aren't afforded the opportunity to kind of jump outside that box and do something different. Because if you go totally wrong, it's going to hurt you. And if every little bit of points you give up, you know, to Donnie Schatz, it's almost going to be impossible to make up. So for them, you know, Shane Stewart, those guys are definitely going outside the box, trying some different things, seeing what they can do to get things rolling for them. You know, a guy like Dale Blaney, Dale's basically running, you know, he said he's running what he runs in Ohio. You know, the track was slick and it's been getting slick. And even when it had the big burn, it was still slick. And if you know Dale Blaney, you know, that's his kind of tracks, you know, that slick stuff. So he just basically said, you know, we're just using what we already know, you know, and going forward with that. So I think the bigger team, you know, the outlaw teams, those guys, you know, Shane Stewart, definitely those guys are doing some different stuff. You know, I can't speak for some of the other teams. I mean, you know, when we talk about Saldana and McMahon, I think they're just trying to get acclimated to what their, you know, what their new teams, you know, not even necessarily trying new stuff, just trying to figure out each other in terms of crew chiefs and things of that nature. So there's a lot of testing and tuning that goes on here. And, you know, it's good for these guys because they have to race every time they get on the racetrack. So that, you know, makes them try things like that. You know, Shane Stewart said it best. He goes, if you get passed in this format, he goes, you're screwed. He goes, you got to pass race cars. You got to go forward every time, because if you don't, you're in the back and you're done. There's too many good cars here not to go forward.
I agree. I love that format personally, with the qualifiers and such. I've always been a big fan of it, and I think it's definitely great for the fans. No qualifying out there, and they can see wall-to-wall racing there at Yuma, so it works out pretty well. Seeing some of the images coming out of Yuma, that facility is amazing. It looked amazing to begin with, but it looks like Greg and his crew over there at Yuma have just made that place into a palace.
Yeah, you know, even since the last time we were there, there's a bunch of changes. The access road to the pit area actually got changed, and unfortunately, I got some people I met out there last year, and I had a chance to sit and talk with them. I'm like, what? You know, it was nice because it went way around the other side of the pits and came in. I said, what happened? He goes, well, we lost the first two or three races of our regular season, which starts out there in September, because they got a bunch of rain, and it washed all the sand down the hill and washed out the road. So they had to move the road. But they've also, up behind the concession area, last year it was kind of like a gravel. This year, all concrete now. Everything is concrete and immaculate. The grandstand's there, just, you know, it's concrete up the hill. The track itself, they're doing the best they can with. You know, every day they do something different. They were trying, you know, they made the mistake of underwatering, I guess you could say, on Friday night. Didn't want the track, you know, to get rough or whatever, and it ended up not being good. Some guys were upset, so, you know, they came right back at it on Saturday, and they got that check racing. You know, got a berm on it, made it multiple grooves throughout the night. Guys were racing, guys were passing. And it is amazing that each time you go there, to see what they've been able to do and how they've been able to improve that facility. I know in just the two years that we've been there, it's immaculate. And, you know, I can't wait to see what the future holds for that place, you know, and I hope to see this event grow more, because it is a fun time. And, you know, being in the business, TJ, you know, when you talk to drivers, when they're in the midst of the point championships and all that stuff, things are a little bit different. But it seems like this week, it's a nice time to be able to chat with all of them as they're relaxed. You know, they don't have the pressures of that, you know, World of Outlaw or All-Star Championship on the line. And everybody, you know, they want to win, and they want to run well, and they want to do well, but they don't have that that extra edge, so to speak, of, you know, the stress of the points and all of that.
And for those of us that are in colder climate, there's sunshine, man. I mean, come on. I mean, you can, I woke up the snow this morning. We were talking off the air. You came home to like 3 inches of snow. You know, welcome back to New York, right?
Oh yeah, it was not a fun, it was a rude awakening. You know, I was lucky I got to go to San Diego for a couple of days before Yuma, and it was 68, 70 degrees. You know, Yuma was 68 degrees while we were out there. And I, you know, as soon as I get off the plane in Buffalo on Sunday morning, it's, you know, 30 degrees and snowing. And I'm like, yep, this is about right. And then I pull in my driveway here in central New York, and I got 3 inches of snow, and it's, you know, it's 9 degrees, you know, here this morning when I get up to go to work. So, it was a rude awakening, welcome back to reality, slap in the face kind of thing. But, you know, I'm just fortunate. I'm lucky I got to go. You know, I'm lucky that with Dirt Track Digest, we're able to do some of the things that we do. And I'm just happy to get to go to the desert. Just like, I think that's why all the guys out there are so happy. You know, it's the middle of the, you know, middle of the winter time. They don't have to go to Australia. They can race in Arizona and enjoy themselves and have an opportunity to make some good money.
It's interesting you brought that up, because it has had some impact on the drivers going over to Australia. We're not seeing nearly as many drivers going overseas to race this year. And I think it's strictly because of the series. They've got 5 races at home now that they can do. And if you count in like PRI, you got to take care of business there, you know, the Winter Heat Showdown, maybe the Chili Bowl, the off season, really, there's starting to become enough events to kind of sustain you a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I talked to Jason Johnson, cause he was a guy that's been in Australia, you know, for the last, you know, he said 10 years, you know, he's been there 10 consecutive years. You know, for him, it's nice because he's got a young kid, you know, 2-year-old son, and it's his opportunity to stay home. He goes, I can get to spend Christmas with my family. He goes, I can do things at home. And he goes, I miss Australia. He goes, but this is great. You know, it's in the middle of the winter. We got nothing else going on. And he goes, and it's 5 nights of racing. It's a chance to make some money, shake things down without leaving. And you can still do Christmas with your family and stuff like that. You know, Shane Stewart, they weren't sure what they were doing. Him and Kyle had talked about going possibly to Australia. But then at PRI, they made the decision that, you know, this opportunity's here. Why don't we do this? So they're going to be there. I know Casey Kane, he is in Australia and he's coming home. He got rained out. So he'll be there tomorrow night for winter heat. And again, every guy you talk to out there likes the opportunity to race, you know, in wintertime. And yeah, it's a travel for some of the guys, but you still don't have the overseas and the expense. And I think the other thing that they like is the purse. You know, I believe it's $58,000 for the 4 main nights. The purse structure, you know, 12 grand to win, 1,000 to start. That's a nice chunk of change for some of these guys, you know, to have that opportunity to race for that here. And some of them, you know, the California guys in their backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Any predictions on what you think we might see tomorrow night and then through the final weekend of the Winter Heat Sprint Car Showdown? To me, I think we're going to see a lot of the same faces up front. I don't really foresee anyone new sneaking into the front of that deal, maybe Pittman. But who are you thinking? What do you think is going to happen over the final 3 nights?
Well, I'm going to go with Lasoski to put it in victory lane. That guy, he just looks good. You know, he just, once he figured it out, he got rolling well. And I think there's something coming with the track, because when I was chatting with Lasoski on Saturday, he said, you know, they've talked, you know, to him about how to get the track better. And he made mention that they're working on some things that they're going to try to do to get it better. You know, some of the drivers complain a little bit. There's a weird crown, I guess you could call it, when they come off of turn two and the cars kind of wash out if you run up on the top, and it really sucks you up by the wall. So I don't know if they're going to try to grade that or change that or do something with that. But if the track gets better than it was Saturday, there's going to be some amazing racing, because Saturday night was amazing racing. Now, you know, you never know. Kyle Larson might pull off another one before he heads out. I believe he's got 24 hours of Daytona. I'm not positive on that, but he's got that coming up that he's got to go test for next weekend, or some NASCAR responsibility. So he won't be there for the Friday, Saturday, the show. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see Dale Blaney stay hot. He just has looked good. You know, he looks more comfortable. Last year, you know, he drove for Paul Silva and the 57 team that Larson's driving for. And you could tell he just wasn't comfortable because it wasn't his stuff. You know, Paul's a great crew chief, car owner, et cetera. But, you know, Dale has his things, you know, set up a certain way. And for Dale to come out there with George Fisher and do everything that they're used to doing, they're going to be tough to beat, I think. I mean, because even in the heat races, everything, Dale just looks strong. He was one of the few guys that just constantly went forward. Didn't matter where you start him, where you put him, he went forward. So I would not be shocked to see him win another one and even win the championship. So, you know, that would be, my predictions. But then again, you never know. With this format, one guy gets hot, you know, they start on the pole, or they start, you know, second or third, and we could see a surprise winner. We could see maybe a Craig Dolanski or, you know, somebody like that, you know, who hasn't looked terrible, but just hasn't, you know, necessarily had the luck. You know, the other thing that I think I can say is hopefully Brian Brown and Rico Abreu get a little bit better. They have struggled so far. With the winner, I know Brian Brown had a tough draw on night number two. He drew last, because he started 10th in the first heat. So he drew the worst pill, and he just did not have a good night. And Rico Abreu both nights has had to race his way in, or attempt to race his way in through the consolation event. So it's first night he was able to do so. Second night was not able to do so, and he already junked a car to flipping over the first turn. So I'm predicting hopefully better things for those two. Because it has not been a solid effort so far out of the box.
Yeah, and those are two guys you would expect to be out front. But how scary is it for the Ohio group, you know, the All-Stars, everyone around Ohio, that Dale Blaney's already hot in January. So this is going to be interesting leading into the spring season with the All-Stars. And a couple of fun questions, Mike, since we have a couple minutes to wrap this thing up. So we have the Chili Bowl coming up. And, of course, you and I have both seen Donnie Schatz dominate from one coast to the other and read about him dominating in Australia. So here's my hypothetical question to debate with you. As a team owner, who would you rather take on, Donnie Schatz or in the sprint car realm, or Keith Koons's team in the midget realm? So, I mean, you know, we see Keith's team dominating. Which one would you rather have to take on?
You know, I think I would have to go with the Keith Koons midget thing. They got a lot of good, drivers, you know, but I think there is a plethora of midget drivers that you can get that are not necessarily are better, but that can compete. When it comes down to Donnie Schatz, I don't think, you know, not to take anything away from any of the 410 drivers in the country, because there's some very, 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 very good guys out there. But Donnie Schatz is just on his game. And he is the best in the world, currently. There's no doubt. I don't think there's many people that would debate that or argue that with you. So I would say in the midget, I would go in the midget world. I would rather try to find a guy to put in the car to challenge the Keith Koons team, I think, than Donnie Schatz. I think you got a better chance, even though there's more of them.
See, to me, I'd rather take on Donnie Schatz, and the only reason is because it's pure numbers. You have one of him. Keith might roll five midgets out of that thing you have to beat that night. It's not just one guy. It's five.
Yeah.
And they don't put slouches in those cars. Every one of those kids can drive. I mean, it's pretty crazy. To me, I'll take the numbers. I'll take Schatz on. It's one guy. Granted, it's the hottest driver in the country. Notice that I said as a team owner, because neither of us have the chops to even come close to even thinking.
I don't think I could even buy a tire at this point.
I said, purely hypothetical, of course. Now, you're an East Coast. You're from the East Coast in the New York area, and we've seen lots of big block modified guys make the transition, especially in ESS and Patriot and stuff, to the sprint car world. Who's the one modified guy that's active right now that you'd like to see try a sprint car that hasn't done it yet?
You know, I would have to say Matt Shepard. Between him and Stuart Friesen, they're the two guys, they're the best in the business when it comes to big block modifieds in my area. And Shepard has not been in a sprint car, and we've seen what Stuart Friesen can do. Stewie has won multiple races of the ESS. He won, we've had two Cold Cups, had one rained out. Stewie won both of those. And he was one of the few guys that defeated Donnie Schatz this year. He beat him at a weekend. So if Stewie can have that success, I'd like to see Matt Shepard try it and see what would happen. I think Matt could have some success. You know, he's a really smart guy, an engineering degree, so he knows what he's doing and he knows how to get it done. And as we've seen, guys that are good in the modifieds can make a pretty good transition. You know, with ESS, we see that all the time. Steve Poirier is one of the best modified drivers in Quebec, and he will go down undoubtedly as one of the best drivers ever to run with the Empire Super Sprints. Five or six championships this year. He's closing in on Mike Woodring's win record for all-time wins of 58. So, we've seen those guys make the transition. And considering how good Matt is in a modified, I'd like to see him in a sprint car.
See, to me, I would love to see Stewart and Poirier and those guys. I know there are various business obligations, whether it's Steve with his actual business or Stewart with his modified rides. I would love to see those guys come further west. I mean, I think those two guys right there are are the best kept secret in sprint car racing, honestly. And I think I'd love to see maybe Stu try the Nationals or even or Poirier try the 360 Nationals again or something. Because because both of them are just tremendous drivers. Except I think once you get really west of where I live, a lot of people have heard the name. They see it in the paper, but they don't realize how good these guys really are.
Yeah, you and I are lucky. We get to travel around and you get to see talent and, a lot of different talents. If you saw Kyle Larson prior to him making it to the big time, you knew the kid was going to make it to the big time when you saw him race. And it's unfortunate fans out there don't get to see our guys more often. We have some very, very talented guys. If I was going to start a team and if we're talking 410s or 360s, I had an opportunity, I would look at, some of the folks we have here. Stewie would obviously be one guy that I would look at and say, "Hey, Stu, let's go run the Outlaws. Here's a 410. I think you could convince him." But we also got a guy like Jason Barney who travels. He's he is one of the few guys that's been willing to step out of the box and travel and go to different places. You know, he's been to the short track nationals. He does some of the stuff in Pennsylvania. He's willing to go all over. So he's a guy you might want to keep your eye on here in the next few years. He's got a great team, great group of guys around him, and he's not afraid to go on the road. And he keeps talking about going to Knoxville, and I keep trying to, you know, egg him and coax him into going and make that official. So I'm hoping we can get him out there this year. I'd like to see, you know, it's been a while since an Empire Super Sprint guy has gone to Knoxville. I think Lance Young was one of the last ones, maybe Chuck Hebing, to head out west. So hopefully we can get a couple of those guys. I know, again, Steve has even talked about heading west too. So it'd be interesting to see if we could get some of those guys to go out. And I would love to see Stuart Friesen run the whole thing, run the 360 and the 410, just to see what he could do.
Oh, I agree. I think it would be tremendous. I think it would be good for the East Coast, too, to have a guy out there doing that well. And 2016 schedules are coming out. There's lots of neat stuff on the horizon right now. Of all the things that have been announced right now that we know of, that we can actually talk about, what's the one sprint car race you're probably looking for? It might be a little bit different, something that we don't necessarily, something new you might be doing this year, or something that's relatively new that you're looking forward to seeing this season.
Well, I will say, for me, you know, if we're talking sprint cars modified all together, I think the week that will be the Kings Royal / Mud's not Summer Classic, I guess.
Yes.
But the fact that the big blocks are going to be there, and I get to see the 410s, you know, for the 3 days of the Kings Royal, plus Attica now being the Doty Classic, I'm excited about that. I know the Doty's a, you know, a mainstay in sprint car racing, but having it go to Attica, I've only been to Attica once in my life, and I really enjoyed it. I just haven't had a chance to get back. So that, I'm looking forward to that. And the lead up now into the 3 days of the Kings Royal, and then you look the following week, now you get big blocks. That 2 week stretch for me is a great run of races. That right now is what Knoxville is my thing. Don't get me wrong. That's my favorite thing, and that's what I'm excited most for. But that stretch, that 2 week stretch, seeing what we have there with sprint cars, modifieds, you know, all the big, you know, event, you know, big divisions here in racing are all going to be at outdoor. I mean, yeah, you're going to miss the late models and they have their shows, but the fact that you're going to have the opportunity to see sprint cars, modifieds, and the NASCAR, you know, truck series all together in a week span, to me, is a pretty awesome deal.
For me, it's two different events under the same umbrella. The Dirt Classic at Attica, and then the two-day Dirt Classic at Kokomo. To me, those two events have oodles of potential to be really special, and I think we're going to be hearing some really neat things about the Dirt Classic in both those venues. Yet to come, but Justin Adams and all his folks there with Casey's group are doing a great job with that event. Those are two awesome facilities to have those races at. And to have the two-day show at Kokomo, there could be some surprises, I think, at that event. That's a track that people see all the videos on YouTube and ooh and ah over, and this is a chance for them to go race there. And the other thing I'm looking forward to is the All-Star Circuit of Champions being a part of the Four Crown, making a true Four Crown again on Saturday. With the bonus money involved there, it's going to be interesting to see who might find a midget rider, who might be inclined to do all four divisions again. There were never a ton of people that did it, but there are some kids right now that have the potential to win all four of those races. And I think it'll be interesting with that much cash on the line to see who might scrounge up a ride and see what might happen.
Yeah, I just saw that, you know, now that you brought that up, but I've never been to the Four Crown. And the Kokomo thing, I've never been to Kokomo either.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I'm predominantly the wing guy, you know, wing sprint car guy. I do some of the non-wing tracks. I mean, this year I got to go to, I think it was Lincoln Park and Terre Haute for the first time as part of Indiana Sprint Week. And that was a neat experience, you know, seeing those guys on their own turf, much different than what I get to experience here in New York and Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
so that was one of the highlights of my year, especially Lincoln Park. That was a pretty awesome little place. And to see, see the non-wing cars on the tracks they're designed for.
Yeah, and that thing at the top of the track's called a cushion, just so you know.
That's a New York joke.
That is a New York joke, folks. For the those that don't know, the tracks are a little hard out in New York, but there's nothing wrong with that. The modifieds puts a good show on that kind of surface. Mike, why don't you tell us more about what's going on with Dirt Track Digest in 2016? Great website. I joke you guys are our neighbors to the east over there. What are you doing over there this season?
We're doing a little everything. You know, we're trying to cover everything we can get our hands on and everything we can cover. You know, obviously we're predominantly the big block modifieds in Northeastern Sprint Car News, but we dabble a little bit in everything, and we just launched. It's It's not the finished product, but it is getting closer and closer. Pave Track Digest. So we're looking to expand even farther east for ourselves. When you look at Massachusetts and you know, Rhode Island and in the New England areas, a lot of pavement racing, not much dirt racing. So we are expanding into that area. That's something we're going to take on here for 2016 and see how it goes. We're putting some staff members together and getting some folks together, and we're going to go into that route and see how it goes. So we're going to add to the dirt coverage that we already have, you know, and the great folks that already help us. You know, we're lucky. We got a lot of great staff members, a lot of people that are willing to do a lot for very little. I mean, anybody that works in this industry knows that you do it because you love it. It's not necessarily for the paycheck.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So, you know, so we've got a lot of great people that are willing to write and take photos and, you know, do all those things for us. And, you know, it's really appreciative. And we've got a lot of people that showed interest in helping us out with the pavement deal. So here we go. You know, we're going to take a dabble at that and see how it goes. And we're putting it all under the moniker of something called Short Track Digest. And if you want to shorten that up, you can figure out what it is. And we're going to have some catchy little phrases that go with that. And we're going to have some fun with it and see, again, just see what happens.
All right. Well, Mike, appreciate you joining us. One more thing before we go, though. Super Dirt Week this year, the change to Central New York Motorsports Park and everything. How do you think that's going to be different this year? We are now through the last year, Super Dirt Week. But now with the different facility, there's the chance to bring in maybe some different divisions and stuff as that grows. How do you see that coming together for this year?
You know, my hope would be that they would change the format, you know. I get, you know, I know why we ran the mile the way we did, just because it was a mile and it was something out of the ordinary. But, you know, we look at the formats for all the other big races. You know, if you go to, you know, any of the big late model races or any of the big sprint car races, you know, they all do the point system and they, you know, you got to qualify. And every time you hit the track, you got to race. You know, and I'd love to see, you know, for me personally, if it was my choice, that's what I would like to see become Super Dirt Week. You know, where the track we're going to be at is going to be, you know, if Central New York Raceway Park gets concluded, you know, it's right up the road here for me. Work has been ongoing. It's just going to, you know, I just hope they're able to get the winter that they need to get it done. You know, currently, right now, obviously, it's not very nice out, but temperature's supposed to warm up here this week. I don't have a cold snap, then it's supposed to be warm again, so we'll see. If not, you know, the contingency plan is Oswego. So, for me, I wouldn't mind seeing it at Oswego. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to go to Oswego, but I've seen the small block supers, the regular supers, the wing supers there. And they all put on an awesome show, and I think it could be a pretty cool dirt track. So for me, I just hope they change the format and go to a more traditional, you know, point system, race. You know, every time you hit the track. And there's ways, you know, keep the pro stocks, keep the sportsmen, and hopefully they include the 360 sprint cars now. You know, you have that opportunity with a facility that's not, you know, and for our sprint car guys, you know, a little bit more dangerous. You know, if you have a racetrack now that's built for racing and meant for racing, I'd love to see the 360, you know, come back and be part of the event. I mean, if you were looking at a format to do in New York, you know, the World Finals format that they do would be great for, you know, Central New York. If we're going a different route altogether, you know, let's go with that format. 360s, you know, the big blocks, and then mix the, you know, change that third division, small block sportsman and pro stocks through the week. That would be amazing. But who knows at this point which way it's going to end up. You know, it's sad to see the mile go, as even though I wasn't necessarily the biggest a fan of it, because I just didn't think it showed off the true nature of our sport. You know, anyone that comes to New York and sees the modifieds, our guys put on a hell of a show wherever they go, whether it's Brewerton or Fulton or Canandaigua or Fonda, you know, the racing, or even my home track, you know, Utica Rome, the racing is 3 wide, 4 wide all the time. And I always felt that it kind of stunk that, you know, we put our biggest race on TV, pays the most money, but it's more of a NASCAR style event and people don't really get to see truly what the big block modifieds are all about. So I'm looking forward to the change and seeing how things work out. And again, if I have my options, I'd either like to see the point system, you know, that would be great, or, you know, do something like the World Finals and bring all these different divisions in and let's make it a true huge event.
Well, make sure everybody to read Mike and all of his friends over at Dirt Track Digest. Mike, really appreciate you joining us this evening, and I'm sure we're going to have you back throughout the season. We got the Coal Cup, Outlaws of Oswego, Super Dirt Week, lots of things to talk about later in the year.
No, not a problem. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for listening to another edition of the TJ Slideways Podcast. Thank you, and good night.